Welcome to my podcast, Today's Dream, Tomorrow's Reality. My name is Vicki Poole. I'm a master transformational coach and hypnotist specializing in habit change. This podcast is sponsored by the Enlightened Peach, and it's all about embracing our mosaic life. And some of you may ask, what is a mosaic life anyway? Well, it is recognizing that all the pieces of our life, the good, the bad, the indifferent, have all come together to make us who we are. Change any one thing and we are different. With that in mind, I invite you to embrace your perceived imperfections and celebrate who you are. This podcast is unedited and raw, just like life. And I am your host. And I have a special guest with me. In just a moment, I will be introducing her. She is so interesting. But I would love for you to do me a solid before I introduce her to leave a comment for this episode as things are going on, as you hear her story. But also remember to like, subscribe, and share, because the only way that these people's stories get out to a larger audience is by this audience growing as well. And that is where you come in. Help me grow the audience. Remember, like, subscribe, and share. So now, let's get started. So this is beautiful lady. I'm going to bring her out in just a moment, Darcy Volden. And we met in a mutual group that we were in, the Do the Thing with Stacey Lorne. And I know those that have listened to me before will recognize the name because I talk about her quite a bit. But Darcy and I met in there, and her story was just intriguing. So I just had to have her on here. So let me bring her on stage. There she is. Yay. Hey,
hello. thanks for having me, Vicki. Yeah. I'm interesting even by my own standards. So
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Some of us lead boring lives, and that is definitely not you. Well, just go ahead and tell just a little tiny bit of who you are and what you do, and then we'll kind of dive into some different things about your life.
All right. So my name is Darcy Volden. Didn't get that figured out yet. But I do have just a very fascinating, interesting life. By trade now, I'm a manifesting mastery and reality creation teacher and coach. I'm also a master channel of sound frequency and light language. And I'll leave that interesting aspect for a little later. But what's unique about my story is that I once, not very long ago, about 7 years ago, I weighed almost 300 pounds. I was broker than broke. I was literally cashing in my change jar at the Coinstar at Walmart. And I was having really difficulty in my relationships, especially difficult with my teenage son at the time. But in any case, I managed to lose 130 pounds. I became a bona fide traveling showgirl and a model in my late 40s. I 5 years ago ditched everything I owned, and I manifested an RV, and I hit the road indefinitely to go what I call going on a living spree, and the quintessential go find yourself. And it's 5 years later, and I'm still on the road. I still live, work, and travel full time, doing, like I said, going on a living spree, G-O-A-L-S, goals. All my goals are checking off all the things that I want to do while I'm here. And just again, the short part of that story is that I just decided one day, I made just a single choice. And one day I looked around at my reality and was like, this is not who I am. I am not some fat, middle-aged woman sitting on a couch in a suburb apartment, scraping to change, you know, to buy gas money and wishing and dreaming of an incredible life of, you know, mountain climbing and canyons and swimming and wearing a bathing suit. It's not who I am. And so in that instant, I choose to change. Like I had a probable, almost certain future if I didn't choose to change, or I could create the life that I love, knowing that I created all this around me. Now I can create newly, and it has become my purpose now on this planet to help everybody within earshot of me check out of here like, yes, that was a life. And I got to be me.
Yes,
and that's what I'm up to.
I just talked about this very kind of thing just the past couple of days in my Make Lasting Change group, because, you know, I talked about how you can be happy or you cannot be happy. You get to choose regardless of what's going on around you and everything, because I was telling them about someone that I knew quite a few years ago and the most miserable person, you know, and used to get aggravated at me for being too happy. And finally I said, you know, I don't understand why you want to be miserable. And he said, well, I don't choose this. And I stopped and I said, yes, you do. Well, that caused a huge argument, you know, because I couldn't be telling him that you can choose, because he said, I don't have a choice. These things have happened in my life. And it was just this big thing. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in that place. They're in the victim mode. They are always blaming someone else for their strife, whatever's going on in their life. But the interesting thing to me is when it comes the other way, where they have a success that they own.
Yeah.
But they don't own the other part, and you can't own one without the other, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately my adult son for a lot of his life has blamed me for everything that's ever gone wrong in his life. And I told him one day, I said, well, if you're going to blame me and make me responsible for all the things that go wrong, every time something good happens, you need to blame me for that too.
Yes.
I just pissed him off, you know. It was like I have that art, I think, of pissing people off with those things. But, but I'd like to take your story back further. Let's go back.
Yeah.
You know, before you were 300 pounds, and let's look, you know, where were you like when you were younger? Did you have a weight issue as a young child, and or did it come about later in life?
I can tell you the exact moment it all transpired with my issues with weight and body image, and because it was just never something that I ever thought about at all. But when I was 16 years old, I got a brand new bathing suit, Hang 10. That'll date me back there. Remember that Hang 10? It was just great bathing suit, and I was at my boyfriend at the time. We were at his grandmother's swimming pool. And I'm just out there just doing the thing, you know, just
having a good old time.
That's just a thing. And later that afternoon, she says to me, she goes, honey, you know, she goes, you'd be so much prettier if you just lost a little weight. And I was just like, what? I'm like, what? I was mortified, you know, because I thought that I looked completely normal. Like, it just never crossed my mind of what my body looked like. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, this is an adult. And this is her opinion of me. And like, I mean, she must know. I mean, this is how their people are seeing me as fat. I'm like, oh my God. And then she
Do you remember what size you were at that point?
Oh my gosh. It was probably like an 8 or a 10, maybe.
Yeah, see, like that. Isn't that interesting, you know? And just to put something in there really quick, I started worrying about my weight when I was in the third grade.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I saw my father doing the same thing. You know, he was always dieting or something.
Yeah.
And so I had that learned behavior in that way, whereas you got just kind of thrust into it with some woman that was.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the politically correct words to say.
Yeah. Right. Of course, in her mind, you know, she's just trying to help me out. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's just... don't even give her that. No, no.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because how that transpired, you know, it's like something happens to us, you know, and then immediately we assign a meaning to it. You know, we make a meaning. I could have made 50 million meanings of it, but I made it. There's something wrong with me. I'm fat and ugly. And, So then I'm hearing now from here on out, it's what comes through my filters is that people say something like, oh, see, fat and ugly. So that, you know, added, she would buy me diet books, you know, let's help you out with this. She took me shopping once and she was going to buy me a new outfit. She said, you know, I'll tell you what, let's wait until you lose a little weight. And then she bought me a Mexican dress, which those are kind of like a Latin muumuu. And then my own grandmother, actually, she did not help either with that. Same thing. She's told me, I'll give you $100 if you lose 10 pounds. You know, I'm like, see, fat and ugly.
Yes. I used to hear that kind of stuff too. And I remember one time, and my grandmother, bless her, I loved her dearly, but she did some of the stupidest shit because I had a cousin that was thinner than me and we would be over at her house sometimes. And so she would get the bathroom scale out and she'd get us and put us on there one at a time to see who was the fattest. And it was always me. Always me, you know, and interesting. And I really think maybe in her heart, she thought that would motivate me, but she wasn't skinny either. You know, I never understood it. All I knew was that that meant something was wrong with me and I was supposed to be more like my cousin.
And, you know, it sticks and there you go, the rest of, you know, until you wake up and realize, wait a minute here. And we got to go back and do some rewiring.
And I will admit, you know, I struggled with that all my life, you know. I would go on some kind of strict diet and I would lose the weight. Most of the time I didn't get to what the elusive they say that my weight is supposed to be because I didn't feel good at that weight. To me, that felt too skinny. It didn't feel like me, you know. But I gained and lost weight so many times that I just really shut off my metabolism. It didn't take long when I started doing it in the third grade, you know. So it's been an issue. And that's one of the reasons I became a hypnotist and a life coach and health coach and everything. And the interesting thing is, even though now I probably, if I go by some of the clothes that I have, some of them are a little bit tight, maybe it would be good for me to just kind of reduce a little bit, like 10, 20 pounds, something like that. But I can still be my worst critic sometimes, you know, I don't care what weight I get to. I can be my worst critic. And the thing that is amazing about women is I can see a woman that I would think, oh my God, I'd love to look like her, and find out she hates her body too. And society has just created this environment for women to never be happy with where they are. Crazy, right?
It is. And like you said, I mean, like kind of like the standards and what they say, like, I got down to what they say, you know, I should be. And I mean, people were telling me like, hey,
you look like you've lost a little too much weight. Yeah, that's what happens to me if I get down to where they say I'm supposed to be.
Well, and then now, according to them, I'm obese, you know, I mean, so that, and and then that sticks in your head, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just like, I'm just comfortable now. It is what it is. You know, I mean, you know, I did, when I hit menopause, I did notice, I put on about 20 pounds. It's like, boom, right off the bat. But, you know, it's just like, it is what it is. And I'm happy, you know, I'm not fighting myself like I was. I mean, I'm not, I have that crazy making going in my mind anymore.
I know. Cause it's a torturous life when you live it all the time. Depicting, oh, can I have that? Can I eat this? Do I need to work out now? Oh my God, I forgot to work out. I'm going to gain weight. And it just perpetuates this horrible scenario in your head and you're exhausted and nervous and anxious all the time.
Yeah. Well, and then if we go into manifesting mastery, if we start looking at the quantum side of all this, you know, we put so much of our focus and attention is directed at what we don't want, you know, and and then we're, I mean, when we're having to make decisions all the time, oh, should I, shouldn't I? Oh man. And then we beat ourselves up and then we go into guilt and then we go into shame and then we're looking in the mirror and then we're, you know, beating ourselves. I mean, so it's like, you know, 99.9% of our energy and our focus is on what we don't want and what we're upset at. And it's just creating these frequencies that are really lower frequencies rather than focusing on what do we love? You know, what do we love? And that's a whole nother fascinating subject. But I mean, that was even for me a part of that weight loss of getting my attention and my focus and my energy in the opposite direction of what do I love? You know, what do I love? What do I love? I mean, every stand in the mirror and like, okay, every morning, three things. What are you proud of yourself for? Yeah. And what do you forgive yourself for? Those are my three things I'm proud of myself for. Three things I forgive myself for. And well, there's just so much, Vicki. Geez, we could talk for.
I know. Well, you know, this brings it up to me. I had a client that she came to me for weight loss. Well, come to find out, you know, there was a whole lot of weight in her life, like a spouse that was horrible, you know, and different things that had happened to her in life that was causing all the weight. But she, in the beginning, could not even look in the mirror and find one solitary thing she liked about herself. Not one. Yeah. So I ended up having to tell her, you know, you have very pretty eyes. You've got a good smile. You know, your hair looks great. And she, a little bit over time, when she started focusing on all the things that she liked about herself or she loved about herself, over time, she was able to actually look at herself in the mirror and say, I love you. Yeah. And, you know, and that is, I wish every human the ability to do that, because I know there are men that fight this too. And I used to think it was only women, because women are held to a standard that men have never had to be held to. Yeah. And this is probably going to be very unpolitically correct. But the thing that drives me crazy about men that are cross-dressers, oh my God, they can wear these gorgeous outfits and they can have a gut. They can have, you know, an ass like crazy, and they are strutting their stuff because they're so damn proud to be there. Right. Yeah. And I think that's what we all need, is just to be so friggin' proud that we're a woman and that we have a woman's body, whether we got a roll here or a roll there, we just strut our stuff. I mean, if you just watch one of them, I mean, they don't care. It's like a privilege, you know? And I'm thinking, I want to be the woman who is so privileged that if I've got a role, I'm just, hey, proud.
Hey, there it is. Boom.
That's it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that a lot. You know, and it's such a difficult topic for so many, you know, of us that deal with weight and body image issues, because we unfortunately like I said we're manifesting exactly more of what we don't want, you know. And then it's like, how do we get out of that cycle? But we also, what's occurring too is, you know, I mean, just what we're believing in the inside of things around shame and around guilt and around, which we do, turns into self-punishing. Mm-hmm. That we have these kind of putting silent instructions out to the universe of like, yeah, I don't deserve the wealth because you know, of this shame or this guilt, I don't deserve it.
More people that will make me feel like what I don't want to feel like.
Exactly. I mean, the thing for me was too, that was the biggest rock to swallow, if you will, is to really wake up and realize, like, I look around my life at the time, you know, it's like, these are all my choices based on what I believe that I am or what I'm good enough for. And like, I like, these are my choices. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm choosing to be overweight. Like, I'm actually choosing this. As much as I say, I don't want it, I hate this, you know, I'm still choosing it. I mean, it's such a deep subject. I mean, there's so many deep layers to it. It's not like, okay, quit it. Quit.
I know. Just stop it.
Stop it.
And the thing that is interesting too, is that, you know, our subconscious mind doesn't like change. So even if we're friggin' miserable as human beings, And everything in our life, our subconscious is really going to try really hard to keep us there because it knows it survived. You know, it's not going to die, but it doesn't know about this new thing and venture, right? Yeah. And recently, I've just had a couple people that as they, you know, that I know that as they started making changes and everything, suddenly they started resisting it because it was like, oh, wait a minute. This doesn't feel good anymore. Yeah. And, you know, and I think a lot of people are not aware that we are so inundated in our activities and the things that we do that it takes a lot of work to get out of that. And it takes help, you know, you can do it, but it takes a lot longer and you backslide and then you go and then you backslide and you go. And that's why it's good to have people like you that coach on this. And then I work with people with this too, just with in a different way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like people can, they can either do it the long route and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't, or they can get help and they can actually, you know, get that going on the fast track and have somebody to guide them and make them aware. Because the thing is like the people that I know that changed their mind and they don't want to even do anything about it anymore. It's just too hard, you know, yeah. And all that stuff, you know, maybe if it had been possible for them, maybe if they had been told about that beforehand, maybe they would have made a different choice. I do not know. But, yeah. You know, it's, and I heard someone the other day that I was in a workshop, and the way he explained it was that we have glasses on that are the filter that we look out of the world. You know how people used to always say, well, you're wearing rose-colored glasses when everything was great, right?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
We also wear glasses that are filtered where we live this horrible life and somebody else is to blame and all of those things. And until we can get to where we can take off those glasses and start seeing life for what it can be,
yeah.
It never can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I've always preach. And I was a health coach for a while. Like after I lost the weight, I wanted to help women who were suffering.
That's how I started too.
which evolved into, like, I finally, it's like, look, it, you know, they say, you know, it's what's going on here and here. Yeah. And that's, I was like, I quit being a health coach for the program that I was with just because, like, look, it ain't about the food right now.
Yeah,
like,
it's not what you're eating. It's what eating you.
It's what's eating you. And it's like, until we can get right between here and here, you know, but and to get our heart and our mind in complete alignment with each other, and we start pulling those weeds. I mean, we're going to continue this oscillating pattern, not just in our weight, but how it represents itself, or I should say how it presents itself in literally every aspect of our life. I mean, it's just a complete overlay. It's like how you do one thing, like with your weight in the oscillating pattern, mm-hmm. It's your finances are in that same, your relationships in that same oscillating pattern, you know, because of what we're creating from a structure that it, I mean, you can wish and dream and do all even all the manifesting techniques you want, but if you're still caught in that structure of certain programming about yourself or society, the way world is, the way you are, like you're caught. But it's like you said, once you can just take it, it's like, oh my gosh,
yes.
You can see like the pattern.
The world looks so beautiful.
Like, oh God, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, so I have to ask you, so how long did it take you to get to the 300 pounds?
Let's see. I was about 180 pounds. I was 174 pounds the day that I graduated from high school.
How tall are you?
I am 5'7".
Okay. So you're a tall girl.
Yeah. So, but when I was 16, like I said, I was probably about a size 8 or size 10, but I noticed that when I started birth control in high school, boom, you know,
oh, yeah.
I immediately like popped on the weight. And then when I had my son, I went over the 200 mark, and I never lost that. And then I got, well, I was in an extremely, difficult. Well, I was in an abusive relationship. I will just say that. And so the stress of that was just, unbearable. I gained even more weight. I was probably about 220 something by that time. And then after that, several years later, then I did end up getting remarried. And that was, we were super in love with each other, man. I was like, woo, you know, I mean, and I packed on another, I immediately went over to 240. Mm-hmm. And then my husband and I, we were married for quite a few years there. And that was in 2004. And then between 2004 and 2015, so probably about 10 years in there, it was just on that steady up climb. And I just, yeah, I, my max
it creeps up, doesn't it?
It just, you know? It creeped. And I never got on a scale. And I guess what's hard is like, I look in the mirror and I was a very proportionate fat woman. So mm-hmm. at almost 300 pounds, I mean, I didn't have a double chin or that. Like, I would have watched that like Biggest Loser show, and I'd see people that weigh significantly less than me that look like just like the just big belly and a triple chin and all that. I'm like, so to me, I in the mirror, I looked proportionate. But I knew, you know, I wasn't happy with my belly, and you know, I mean, just. Yeah, you might, yeah, I mean, you yeah. know, you're fat, you know, I'm like, okay. But again, proportionate. I lost 60 pounds and I literally couldn't see it in the mirror. I could not see it in the mirror. So I thought I would humor myself and do a side by side. And then I was like, oh my gosh, you know, then I really saw it. It was just like, dang, man. Wow. Wow. But I did go on to lose. At most, I'd lost 130 pounds. Like I've put since then, that was during COVID. I got down to my lowest, but I've put on 30 pounds. But and I've hit my menopause since then too as well. But I'm just hanging right here. I mean, it doesn't matter if I eat crazy or if I can be so perfect, my body just kind of hangs out right about here. So yeah. We make peace with it. I'm like, I'm good. I mean, I'm good now.
Yeah, perfect. Well, then I want to get on to, because this is one of the things that really fascinates me about your story. And I'll tell you this before I ask you these questions. So those people that are listening or watching, I still live in the hometown where I was born.
Yeah.
I was, the hospital that I was born at is probably about 20 minutes away from me. Yeah. My family all lives close by. The furthest away, well, not really. My mother is an hour from me. I've got a sister and a niece that are like 20 minutes from me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I have some that have moved to other states, but most of them are still around here. Cousins, aunts, uncles, and everything, right? And my daughter is the one that loves to travel. Now, I love to go places, but I want to be home. And maybe it's because I've never thought I had that option. You know, I started having kids young and, you know, and it's just never occurred to me that you could do what you've done. And so I really admire that. And, you know, there have been times I remember telling my daughter, because what she does, and she's an adult, is one day she told me, I can't remember. She was 19, 20, 21. I don't remember. But she looked at me. She said, you know, I think I want to move to Denver. I said, really? I said, do you know anybody there? No. I said, have you ever been there? No. I said, when are you going? She said, next week. Okay. And she's done that. She moved to Hawaii. She moved to Portland, to Denver twice. And so it's like, she says she does get a little nervous on the move, but it's an exciting nervous thing. So who knows when she's going to walk up, and we're roommates right now. So who knows if she's going to come in one day and say, you know, I think I've decided I'm going to move to so-and-so. And I did tell her, I said, you know, you can visit anywhere you want to. You don't always have to move, right? But anyway, let's get to you. I just wanted to share, you know, I am not in this free spirit thing, but I admire that. And sometimes I would like to be that, but I have so many things that keep me into this one space, right?
Yes.
So share for everybody. Now listen up. She's going to tell you this amazing story, and I want you to be taking notes, because it is manifesting at its finest. And I love the story, and I love how You've made that something that you help other people with. So
yeah,
it's all yours. The floor is yours.
Right. All right. So, as I said in the beginning, I lost all this weight and, manifested an RV. Like I said, I ditched everything I owned, completed my marriage. And we were married 15 years. And I say that we had a conscious completion of our marriage. So we still really love each other, even after that. That's another story for another time.
Next podcast.
Yeah, next podcast. And it's a phenomenal manifesting story. I mean, really the whole thing, my whole life, since the day that I made that choice to lose the weight, my life has been one incredible manifesting story after another, after another, after another, after another. And so that's why I love teaching this so much, because I've kind of been able to dial this into literally a science. And because we got no time to waste here. Time to get on it.
That's right.
Stuff to do. So let's get on it. So, when I say that I manifested that RV again, that's a whole nother long story, but the short of it is, I'm like, I was still honest to God. This is the truth. When I decided to leave home, when I manifested that RV, this is what I had a full tank of gas and $12 to my name. I knew I had enough gas to get to Shreveport, Louisiana and $12. And I thought, you know what? As I call it, FTSO, you just gonna figure this shit out. I'm just gonna figure this shit out. I will somehow. Oh, here's the thing. Let me back up. That RV, I just knew, I have no money. How am I gonna, manifest this RV? But I put in all my manifesting techniques. Again, super short to the point on that one is, one day I get a notification from PayPal that there's $12,000 dropped into my PayPal account. I thought it was a scam, I almost didn't even check it. But of course, curiosity got the best of me. And it was from my dad with a message that said, "I wish I could have given this to you the day that you graduated from college." And that was in 1995. And so we're talking now 2019. And so he just, all these years, he got to a point in his life that he could help me now. And so, he didn't know about all this RV and stuff, but anyway, so I'd never even stepped in an RV before. I've been camping a few times, but by golly, I'm going to figure this out. I happen to have a truck. So,
I was going to ask, was it a pull along or was it
was a pull behind, right. FTSO, University of YouTube, baby. There's videos on everything. How do I back up a trailer? How do I hitch a trailer? I don't know. All right. So, but I'm like, I will figure this out. And there's people all around that will be willing to help. You just ask, So anyway, I got that RV. And by the way, I've lived in Austin, Texas pretty much my entire life. I really thought that's where I just, die there. My family's there and all of that. But like I said, I want to have experienced all the things on my bucket list. By the way, before I forget, I'm the Do the Thing Bucket List Challenge champion.
I know, right here. I know.
Props. Okay. Anyway, so I did. I hit the road and, God, there's so much I can say about it. Like I said, there's so many things, but I thought, well, I'm going to get to that first destination, and then I'll figure it out from there. And I also traveled just intuitively. Like I didn't have anything planned out.
I was going to ask, how did you pick that first destination?
That first destination is, the reason why I picked the first destination is there was a retreat that I wanted to go to in Oklahoma. And so I knew how to get myself to that retreat and, I got to manifest the money for that retreat. So it all played itself out. That's how I knew. I just kind of had somewhere. I knew in my mind, I wanted to get to that retreat in Oklahoma. And then I thought, I've got a friend who lives in Durango, Colorado. Hey, could I come out there for a couple of weeks? Absolutely. So then that became, the next thing. And then from there, it was like, okay, what, from there. So, that little bit of time, like I said, it was in my mind, it's like, okay, just just even if you can do it 3 months, you know, and then 3 months, okay, can I do it 3 more months, 6 months? Okay. Like, okay, man, might as well just make it a year. And I mean, like, so now it's 5 years later, you know, and I'm still all over the country. Right now where I'm at is I'm at an amazing cabin that I manifested out near Branson, Missouri. That's just, you know, your quintessential log cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, doing what I want, when I want, how I want, on my own time, you know, mm-hmm. but I created it, right? My life was not going to be that way for me. Had I, right. died, you know, it's not at all. I would still be gaining weight. I'd still be sitting on the couch. I'd still be suffering. You know, I mean, it just,
And you might've been on that 600 pound life, right?
Yes.
Luckily you didn't go there. Well, real quick, I just wanted to share, there's a movie, and I cannot remember the movie that it comes from, but one of the things is somebody asked her, now, why did you leave Kansas? And she said, well, I looked around and I saw that there was not anybody there that I wanted their life.
Yeah.
And it was time to go.
Yeah.
And, I wish I could remember which one it is, but there's so many of them that I don't remember. But that's really important to think of, because, like, I tell people all the time, you know, find someone that you would like to mirror their life, or the things that they do in their life that have done the things you want, at least, and then find out, you know, a little bit about them and how they did it. And then you can, you know, get somewhere else. Yeah. Because you don't want to be taking advice from people who've, if you're wanting to be an entrepreneur, you don't want to take advice from people that have never been an entrepreneur, because they are definitely not going to be steering you on the right path, you know? Yeah. And so we have to be careful who we listen to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we also have to be careful of how we're listening to ourselves, right? You know, that's the thing, you know, it's like we're kind of buying into this dialogue, you know what I mean? For every choice that our true self makes, that ego self, it's going to chime in with its own intervention every mm-hmm. single time. You know, I'm either making choices from who I really am, or I'm letting that structure, if you will, dictate my choices, you know? Yeah. And so it's like being able that I'm not listening to it's always going to be there. Right. But, you know, it's like, who am I listening to? Am I listening to my true nature and purpose, you know, or am I listening to that? Oh, yeah. Who do you think you are? You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. What is everybody going to think about you? You know, it's like.
Well, you know, one of my favorite books is by Michael Singer, and it's The Untethered Soul.
Yeah.
You know, and he talks about that so perfectly, about our inner voice and how we listen to it. And when you think about it, if we had, like he says in his book, if we had a friend come and sit down on our sofa and talk to us like we talk to ourselves, we'd have them hit the damn door. You know, you can't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
But we do it to ourselves all the time, unless we start learning what we're doing and making a different decision, because it all comes down to, once you become aware, then you've got a decision to make. You know, do you want to do better, or do you want to slide back into mediocrity, or slide into discomfort that might be horrible, but you know what it is? You know, what do you choose? Because there's no such thing as staying in the same place. You're either growing or you're sliding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I have three mantras that I live by.
Okay.
Which there's probably more than three, right? Still FTSO. I'm still to this day. Well, you just figure this shit out. You'll figure it out.
That's right. I always say I'm not perfect. I'm learning right along with you.
So there's actually more than three. I would say there are five, but FTSO. And then, you know, cliche, you know, do it afraid. You know, I mean, we're going to be afraid whether we don't do it or whether we do it. I mean, we're still going to be afraid. And I'm going to tell you, like, when you do it afraid, you still get on the other side of it. Like, I mean, but my favorite one is just to do it messy. Like, just mm-hmm. do it messy. And Stacey Lauren, Do the Thing. She's so amazing with that. You know, I mean, I think she's really
just start.
just do it messy, you know, because then the voice is all like, oh, you got to get it right. You're doing it wrong. Or what are people going to think? You know, it's like, you're going to mess it up. It's just like, just do it messy. And I promise you, I mean, it's like when you're watching, you're listening to somebody and they're just raw, they're real. They got messy hair. They're stuttering. They're like, oh, God, you know, you love them. You're just like, God, you know, like you're showing up. You know, I'd much rather watch somebody, the real deal, than somebody that's all got all the, you know, fancy lighting and all primped up and all that. You know, it's like, come on, let's keep it real. But the other one is that it doesn't need to make sense. You're going to get these ideas, right? Ideas, those are the desires of the heart and what you love. What do you love? What do you love to do? And it may not make sense at all that what you really would love to do is actually, you know, knit horse blankets. Like that would, you just love it because you love it, not because like in order to or anything, but it's that it doesn't need to make sense. And on top of that, you don't need to make it make sense for other people. Because right. So a lot of us, like, we stop.
That's the one I love the most. Yeah.
From doing what we want to do. I'm telling you, it still didn't make sense to my mom the way that I live like this, you know, but we put such a lid on our life because we spend so much worrying about what other people, like trying to make it make sense for them. Or they think we're crazy or like we're stupid or that, you know, who are you? Like, but you know, golly, it's like, all any of us really want, like I said, we just want to be us. You know, we want to leave here and like, yeah, here, I can say it. You know, it's like, it doesn't make sense, but you know what, who I am? I'm an interdimensional time hopping space shaman. Boom, there it is. Does it make sense to anybody? I can't control what I can't control. People are going to judge me or say what, but you know what? I freaking love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I imagine. Yeah.
Then lastly, the other one too is just to know that, you know, all of us, we're still even, you know, as coaches or teachers or guides or healers or channelers, you know, I mean, we still are human and we're still going to go through all the challenges. My God, the amount of challenges that I went through on the road, right? I mean, stories for days, you know, but to just keep remembering that everything is going according to plan. Everything mm-hmm. is going according to plan. Even those things that hit you sideways like that. I mean, there's not a one of us that can look back and can actually see how perfectly all the dots lined up. You know, like it makes no sense. It may seem so tragic or so horrible, you know, but then it's like, ah, oh, God, wow, wow, wow. And that literally every day when I get up, you know, it's that everything is going according to plan. My world is taking care of me. And it doesn't need to make sense today.
That's right. So, you're still traveling in your RV, but so you've got it parked somewhere close by and you're just staying in this cabin for now?
Well, I actually just sold it. I had been towing that thing around all over the place from one end of this country to the other. And then there was another year there where, and I have a travel companion. So we're best friends and we were taking two RVs and two trucks all over the country. Oh, by the way, I mean, the first part of my journey, I always want to tell people I was absolutely solo. You know, I want people to know that, like, I was completely by myself and people always ask me, well, if, you know, if he wasn't traveling with you, would you still do that? Well, yeah, that was the plan all along. My intention wasn't that I'm going to be having someone to travel with. I'm going on my own and let's see what shows up. So anyway, so that's when I say we, that's why I say that I have a travel companion. So then we want to say, well, okay, what's it like to not have to tow an RV? Cause it's a chore, you know, you got to get all that hitched up in the water and, you know, especially we were living off grid, in the public lands. So then it was just Airbnb hopping, you know, just our hotel hopping and doing it that way. And so that's like, so right now this is actually an Airbnb, which another incredible manifesting story, but that I've been coming here every winter for the past 3 years, and that the owners and I have become like family. They're just amazing people. So I did just recently sell my RV just because it was in such disrepair and I didn't love it anymore. Not that I don't love RVing, but again, I cannot emphasize enough about love and about not just what you love, but the things in your life. Like if the things that you don't love it anymore, if every time you look at it, you're like, you know, it's like, let it go and create space for the new stuff that you love. So I loved my RV and it was amazing, but it had over those years, a lot of damage and need a lot of repairs and a lot of that. And every time I looked at it, I was like, I wasn't in love anymore with it. So, you know, then I can create what next that I love. And that's the other thing too, if you're just, you know, you're listening to this, it's like I said, you got these desires from the heart and they're not there by accident. And that's why there's such discord in our life, because you want to do those things so bad. And like I said, you just want to be who you really are. And when we're not, it's that tension that's there that we're fighting against, because it's like, we're not honoring that. And we're not, you know, does it happen overnight? No, you know, I mean, it can. I'm going to say that too. I want to be real clear about that as well, because sometimes we think, oh, you got to go through this whole process. You got to dig all this stuff from your past up and it's got to be this deep healing work. But honestly, sometimes it can just be like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. You know, like I woke up one day, I'm like, I'm not going to eat like this anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I find for me, that, not to say that I always eat perfectly, and for those that are not seeing this, I'm putting that in quotes because there's no such thing as eating perfectly. The thing that the better I feel about me and about my life and what's going on and everything, the less I want to eat things just to eat, you know, because I was always an emotional eater. And I think so, anybody that can get up to the sizes. Like I wasn't 300 pounds, but I was close. Yeah. But when you get to that size, you didn't get to that size just because you were an overeater. You know, you got that size because there was something wrong that you were feeding. Yes. To not deal with it, or yes, just to make you feel better. And so if people can gather that, you know, you change this inner environment, the mindscape that you've got going on, take off those old glasses and put on some new glasses and get some help, then, you know, you can make things happen fast. You can have things happen slow. It's just whatever works better for your body, your mind, and you control that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to say too, you reminded me that too, of it's like that support. It was like, I cannot emphasize enough to not go it alone. Get you a coach, a community to work with, like I said, especially with the mindset stuff. But that way, when you start to hit those slippery slopes, you know, that you've got someone that's walked there before you, that can guide you, that help you navigate through the mires. I cannot emphasize that.
That's why I say, if you're wanting to be an entrepreneur, don't ask people that have never been an entrepreneur, because they're not going to help you be an entrepreneur. They're going to help you figure out why you shouldn't. And so when it comes to, you know, mindset, you have to find somebody that is doing what you want to do. You know, you can't just say, well, I think I'll pick them over there. They've got a good ad.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Super important. And the other thing too, I mean, it's just like literally staying in that conversation about it, that. I mean, you're just constantly in the conversation, because when we're going it alone, it's you're not in the conversation. You'll be gung-ho at first. Yeah, okay, all right, I got this. This time I got it.
Yeah. This is the last time, because it's gonna work.
Yeah, this, you know, and then the next thing happens, or you know, whatever. Yeah. And then there we go again. But literally when you're in that conversation, that's why groups are so good. And now too, like I'm so grateful for, you know, even I call my running buddy, my travel companion, but as we're working on like a lot of this mindset stuff and breaking patterns, It's constantly in that conversation, because, you know, or learning about it or reading about it, as long as you're, you know, something, because otherwise you just kind of fall back asleep. It's too easy to fall back asleep. And I promise you, you do get on the other side of all this. There really, really is the other side of all this. You're not stuck.
Yeah. And there's always something new to want to do. Because to me, it's not all necessarily, you know, physical things that you buy. You know, I think society has kind of got everybody programmed that is the level. If you get successful, that's what you're supposed to do. And then, you know, I like, I can't think of the name of the book, but anyway, in this book, he talks about how we have he calls them rules. It's bullshit rules that society has given us. It's Vishen Liakhani, however you say his name, that created Mind Valley. I can't remember the name of his book. I got it on the shelf over there. But anyway, he talks about that and how we adopt the rules that society has gotten for us instead of deciding what our soul and what will make us happy. And so I think when you're doing all this mindset work and everything, you start tuning into, what do I really want?
What do I want? You know? What do I love?
Yeah. What makes me happy? What brings me joy? What do I want? Not what does the commercial say I'm supposed to want? You know, because that's a whole different conversation there, you know? So now I want to ask you, because I know you kind of alluded a little bit to channeling and light language and that kind of stuff. And I do have a friend that she is, I guess she channels light language, and it's amazing because when she does it, you can just kind of feel the energy. And, you know, I have never done it. I really don't know anything about it. I know she can draw the different symbols and all that stuff, you know, and it sounds kind of like gibberish. And, you know,
it does. Yeah.
So how did you get to that place where that's what came up for you?
Well, yet another, that would take a whole other hour to describe that.
Give us the cliff notes.
The cliff notes version of that is, you know, like I really can see now, like I talked earlier about how you can kind of see all the dots lining up. Mm-hmm. You know, I look back and I can see that I was literally led with breadcrumbs to this. This, for me, my ability to channel in the way that I do. So most of the times when people think of somebody that channels it, it might be like Abraham Hicks or Bashar or, you know, others that channel and then you hear English messages coming through. But for me and others like your friend, it's an ability for me to channel sound frequency and what's light language. Well, what the heck is this light language? And it's, people ask us, oh, is it speaking in tongue? And I would say yes and no with that. That tends to get really twisted up in religion, like with the speaking of in tongue. However, it is as if, because we're all frequency and energy. I mean, everything is energy. So if you could imagine if light could actually speak. That's why it kind of sounds like babble. Mm-hmm. However, how it appears to me, if you want to take a real walk on the wild side here, and again, I know this is maybe too far out for some people, but other people listen and be like, oh my God, this is my jam. but it would be like your star origins or your galactic origins. You know, I mean, there's also all of the creatures that are on our planet, even just down to the like little plankton in the ocean, the whales, and even the trees, like everything is communicating. We just can't hear it within our audible human spectrum, but everything is communicating. So when it's channeling even light language, what comes through that you might sound like this babble, if you will, or it, you'll often hear it does. A lot of people say, oh my God, that sounds so familiar to me. Like, I feel like I'm at home, but it could, it is oftentimes too, that it is like another thing, like it could be like some species of octopus that is their communication that's coming through, that's actually becomes now audible to the our human senses. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen the thing where they have that machine where they clip it to like the leaves and the trees? Yes. And different things, and it plays the music?
Yes. Yeah. So it's really is that real. So when you can see it with your eyes, right? Because it's like electricity was here all along. We just can't see it. And then like exactly with the, what you're talking about, it's happening, right? We just can't see it, but then you put it in form into matter. Like, so that energy, that now it's being able to be expressed into matter, which looks like lines or sounds or all of that. But, one of the things, like, this really dropped in for me once I became a clear channel. I mean, we're all channels, by the way. It's not just me, but it's when we have so much bull crap going on in our minds and our bodies, and we just like we can't hear, you know, we can't tune in, and we can't tap in, like, energetically, like our bodies are so, you know, that we can't feel the energy that's all around us, or, you know, like even going into nature, it's not being able to pick that stuff up because, like, there's so much static inside mm-hmm. of us. And so for me, and that was part of my healing journey, was just getting that clear and just kind of removing. I have go through that process, really deprogramming, you know, all that stuff that I thought was how I'm supposed to act. I mean, I literally had to recreate my identity. Like, who am I really? You know, I mean, I'm not who I thought I was based on, you know, how I thought I was supposed to be as a kid mm-hmm. and a teenager, and what my parents and family and TV and all that. And I'm acting a certain way, doing a certain thing, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, whoa. So it was for me, like I said, once I got clear and I can just be in the silence. And I love to be in the silence now. Before, it always, the TV would always have to be on, or the radio would always have to be blasting. And now it's like, you know, so being able to be a clear channel, which allow me then to be able to tap in. And then there's some other extremely fascinating stories of plant medicines, like ayahuasca, you know, living in the jungle. You know, I spent a month in the jungle with the shamans. And so part of that is when those abilities activated for me. So that's a short piece of it, but it is so cool and it is so fascinating. And I'm so grateful that we live in times that, you know, I'm not going to be strung up as a witch or, you know,
burned at the stake.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, at worst, people just going to think, well, she's lost her mind and she's off a rocker and she might need to be institutionalized. But, you know, for the most part,
for those people, there'll be somebody else, but the people that you're going to attract are going to be the ones that want to hear about it.
Yes, absolutely. And so I'm like I was telling you that more recently, it's just shown that my life really is taking this direction as a channeler. I call it you know, like people, let me back up. I don't particularly like saying the word like sound healing, because mm-hmm. like I don't feel like I am not a healer. We're all our own healers. I'm just right. the channel and the conduit to help you remember. And it's like more of like an activation and awakening of all those aspects of yourself that are dormant, and that you've kind of gotten energetically, molecularly, cellularly, like out of whack energetically because of our programming. So through light language and that kind of channeling, like it will literally like kind of reset you back to your divine original template. We came in here perfectly, you know, like a seed right. comes in here perfectly. We just got a little out of whack. So that's what this work does, is it recalibrates and reattunes you and it's all the re's so that you can, you know, get, it really helps too to, I mean, just as we're going, a lot of people are really going through your healing journey to help clear out all that debris, to help you get to be in that clear state mm-hmm. and to be in that clear channel again. So that's where my life has really taken that direction now. When I had to ask, you know, as I love manifesting mastery, I love teaching it, but it's like, what do you love? Like, I love channeling and I love talking about it. I could do it all day long. It's an honor for me to share that. And so I do what I call sacred sound ceremony once a month. people can find that at sacreddestiny.lab. I haven't updated the site right this moment or the next date, but can find that there.
And is it a virtual event or an in-person event?
Okay. Yeah, so it's a group virtual event. And so your job, we just have you put your headphones in and kick back and just receive that. And I do, it lasts about, I do a full, I call it ceremony. It's very ceremonial. And so it'll last between about a good two and a half hours long that we do, because we do a lot of stuff with water, a water ceremony in there. And it's just, it's incredible. And like I said, it's such a neat thing for me to share and to introduce it to people. Again, some people come across it and be like, yeah, no. And other people are like, oh my God, this is just, I'm so glad I found this. So yeah, sacreddestiny.love is where you can find more about the light language and the channeling.
Okay. So is there something else that you're doing there now too, since you don't have your RV, you're getting away from the course? Is that what you said? And doing more with the light language? Are you still doing the manifestation course too?
Well, yes. And so I still absolutely love teaching manifesting master in reality creation, because even through the channeling, right? It's not like you go through a channeling session with somebody like me or who does this and then boom, you're fixed. Life is good. You know, it's, like I said, you still got to have that coach or that teacher, that guide, mm-hmm. that mentor. So that's what I still love doing. Like, I still love helping people, like learning all like the manifesting practices of, like, I really love the quantum physics side of it, you know, the spiritual side of it, you know, like, how is it that we make things show up here? You know, how do we do that? Right. So, I still really love doing that. So, like where you've caught me is right in the middle of my shift, as I'm kind of trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I'm spending like 99% of my time on versus, you know, a little less, or how am I combining it together? What did that look like? But in the now moment, it's really becoming more and more about the channeling, because it's such an extraordinary ability mm-hmm. that I cannot not share it. Like, I feel like an obligation to have been gifted with this to just keep it to myself. So yeah.
So you said you haven't updated yet. So do you have one coming up pretty soon?
Yeah, I have not set the date yet. I was going to do that tonight, actually, to figure out what date. We just had one on this past Sunday, and I do them every month, but I'm actually considering doing one even in a couple of weeks here.
Well, what I will say for everybody that's listening or watching is that when they see this, to look in the description, because if the date is set, I will have that in there. So as soon as, you know, even if I have this published before you give me the date, I'll go back in and add it in. So anybody that's looking will know. And then if it's something like, if you do it once a month and it's always on like the third Sunday of the month or whatever, we'll put that information in there too, so that they, whether the date's right or not, they can go and look any old time.
That's perfect. And honestly too, even if you can go there right now, which I recommend, go there and you can read all about this. It is very detailed. There's a mile long list of testimonials on there, but more specifically, it'll answer any question that you have. Like, what is this? Like, how does this work? How's that? You know, so you can see, you can actually, even though it may have a previous date, you can still register. That'll get you on my mailing list. And then that way, when I do announce a new date, it will automatically, you'll automatically get that. And of course, find me on Facebook, Darcy Bolden, send me a friend request, and then let me know you found me here. 'Cause it's getting harder to tell who's the real deal.
If
you find me on Facebook, that's the best way. Send me a private message, send me a friend request, and then I can keep you in my loop. And like I said, it is my purpose on this planet to help you leave here knowing that you got to be you and you got to do all the stuff that you loved. I got you. I'll help get you there every step of the way.
All right. That sounds perfect. And we're at the end of our time. We may have gone a little over, but I don't remember exactly what time we got on here. So we're good, right?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here and sharing your story and all the things that you've done and that you are doing, because it's definitely fascinating. And so I ask everybody to make sure you leave a comment, like, subscribe, share, and help Darcy's message get out even further. Definitely share with your friends if you think that they would be interested in light language, even if they're not, that you know of. Share it with them and just let them see. It might be something that energetically will start talking to them, right?
Exactly.
So I will leave you. Well, do you have any final words before we sign off?
I'm going to just rehash those couple of things, just because we just want to anchor it in. Do it messy. It doesn't need to make sense. Everything is going according to plan. I'm going to throw it in there again. You can FTSO your way anywhere you want to go. And I'm no different than you. You know, I mean, I we're the same. If I'm cliche, you know, if I can do this.
Yeah. And this just ties in perfectly to my ending statement that I always end with. And that is, the best way to predict the future is create it. What are you creating? Ah, perfect. So with that said, blessings, everybody, and make sure like, subscribe, and share. And I'll see you on the next one.